Certain things in life are unassailably inevitable. Death, taxes, and Jaromir Jagr in a new hockey jersey. We've got all of those this week on Pucked in the Head. There, everybody. My name is Jason Carello. I am sitting in the big chair right beside, in an even bigger chair, strangely enough, Russell Arbuthnot.
Hi, Jason.
How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. How are you?
I am all right. My voice is almost 100% back now.
Congratulations. How
Thank
does it
you.
Feel?
Thank you very much. It feels good.
It
feels good. I'm almost ready to start doing... Well, you know, I think I'm going to do it.
What is that?
I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Rubber ducky, you're the one. Makes my bath time lots of fun. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you. Vo-vo-vo-dio. There we go. That's rubber ducky. Thank you. Which, by the way, from now on, you are my rubber ducky.
Well, I am flattered, Jason, and a little creeped out.
And as you should be. In fact, what I would like to do, if we could, I think we should go back, play the music again, and just cut to the music. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is Pucked in the Head. My name is Jason Carello, and sitting beside me in the bathtub of life, the rubber to my ducky.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
It's Russell Arbuthnot.
I might not be here for much longer if this continues.
We may not have many more episodes left in us, everybody, so enjoy it while it lasts. But we've got something that is, as I said in the intro, inevitable. In hockey, one can never go very long without seeing Jaromir Jagr put on a new jersey.
That's true. That's true. He's up to, well, 7 National Hockey League teams now. That's not including the myriad of KHL and various Czech teams that he's suited up for.
I need to interrupt you there, sir. Maybe you have suds in your ears or something.
Oh, sorry.
8, because Jaromir Jagr has just been moved to the Florida Panthers.
That's true, although we haven't seen him put on the jersey.
Well, by the time this gets out, we probably will have. But
that's true.
Jaromir Jagr is joining the Florida Panthers. Roberto Luongo and co. are within 2 or 4 points of the Boston Bruins for that
last
playoff
points. Yeah, they're charging.
Putting the fear of stink into the Bruins, which they deserve, frankly. Dirty, rotten, stinking bastards.
Luongo, upon hearing the news, actually tweeted out...
I didn't see this. What did he tweet?
I'm paraphrasing. It was something along the lines, when you add a 68 to a 1, referencing both of their numbers... It always adds up to a good time. Well, # Jagerbomb.
Way to go, Strombone One.
Yes.
Very nicely done.
He's always got a witty quip.
Always going for the not safe for work commentary.
That's true.
Very well done. And now, not only is this a little bit exciting because between this and a few wins under their belts, the Florida Panthers have actually gotten some people in the building recently.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
The game against the Chicago Blackhawks the other night got over 17,000 people in the building, which they have done 3 or 4 times this year. It's huge news for them.
Yeah, well, usually it's down, well, take 10,000 off of that, and that's their numbers.
And they've certainly had a lot of those nights, too, but... They have had quite a few people. Mind you, there were some photos from outside the arena of hundreds upon hundreds of Blackhawks fans for that game.
Right.
Were there.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, everyone's lining up.
They're a little artificial. But.
Well, they're not artificial. There are bums in seats.
That's true. But right? They're still, who cares who's playing? It's not as though it's necessarily the Florida faithful that
it's
are there.
It's certainly not like their salad days when Ed Jovanovski and Scott Mellenby were leading them and John Van Beesbrook were taking mm-hmm. them to the final.
The Beezer.
And they were throwing rats on the ice in the thousands. It's not like that at all. Mm-hmm. But there are bums in seats. And that is a big step.
Yeah.
It's a huge step.
Yeah.
But Jaromir Jagr is, he's got 29 points so far this year, which basically puts him in line to be fifth in scoring on this team behind such luminaries as Nick Bjugstad. I would rather say Jughead simply because I'm a big Archie fan.
Mm-hmm.
So Nick Bjugstad, Jonathan Huberdeau, of course, is quite an impressive young player. Aaron Ekblad as well. Juicy. I know it's UC, but Juicy is much better.
Hold up there. Is Ekblad is in the top?
Ekblad
is a third leading scorer on that team?
Third leading scorer. He's got 32 points so far. Nine goals and 23 assists. And he's played every game as well.
Mm-hmm.
Jagr comes in. Now, he's been pointless the past few games in New Jersey. He's also been playing a lot less since they fired the coach. They brought in new people a few games
ago. DeBoer was there.
He's been playing a lot less. He's had four or five fewer minutes per game.
Well, maybe mitigating the risk because they knew he was an asset that they wanted to move.
I'm sure they're trying to manage his energy levels. I mean, he is 43 years old, so they're trying to manage him down the stretch, and they were shopping him.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he's one of the few properties they had that they could let go, and they got a couple of picks for him.
Yeah.
Jagr, even though he spent parts of more than four seasons overseas in the Czech League and in the KHL, he is fifth all time in NHL scoring. Can you name the four guys in front of him? Jagr, by the way, has 1,784 points. Who are the four guys in front of him?
Gretzky.
Obviously.
Howe.
Yes. Number three. Who's number two? Had his worst seasons right here in Vancouver.
Oh, Messier.
Mark Messier, number two all time. Has 27 more points than Gordie Howe.
I always thought Gordie Howe was number two.
Well, he was until the very end of Mark Messier's
career. Right? Yeah.
Number four, and you need buckets of assists to be that high on the list. This is a guy
that makes me think Ronnie Francis.
Ronnie Francis is the correct answer. Number four. Jagr has 1,784 points. He needs 14 more points to tie Ron Francis for fourth all time in the NHL.
He'll get there.
Very recently, this year, in fact, passed Marcel Dion for number six, who has 1,771.
Hmm.
He is also sixth all-time on the goals list, goal-scoring list. 716 goals this guy has scored.
It's more points than many.
That is a crap ton of goals. Of course, most of which were scored with Mario Lemieux mm-hmm. in Pittsburgh, but also in Washington before Ovechkin came along. Jagr was the guy.
And
but he's just produced.
Possibly Francis as well.
He's just produced,
mm-hmm.
right? He has played with the Bruins, the Stars, the Rangers, the Capitals, the Penguins, the Flyers, the Devils, and now the Panthers.
Yeah.
And
some interesting teams on there that you don't
the
necessarily see.
The traveling Jagrs are going to need another guy.
And they're up to eight now.
They will be up to nine.
Up to nine
because they also include
Florida.
Czech national jersey. But it's just amazing. He's played 1,530 games in the NHL. It's not including the 4 years and the lockout season that he wasn't here.
Right.
He's got 1,784 points, plus 284 for his career, 202 power play goals. The guy is just amazing. 127 game-winning goals in his career.
That is an impressive career.
That is amazing.
And to take into account the years that he's missed is absolutely incredible.
Now, he wouldn't be threatening Gretzky
mm-hmm.
for the all-time record.
Right,
but
yeah.
He's only 103 points back of Messier. for number two.
He would be there for sure.
If he had spent those 4 years here instead of spending it overseas,
yeah,
he would definitely be number two all time behind Gretzky.
Yeah. Oh, and he's still a valuable player. I mean, he's still putting up points. He's still producing.
Yeah, I mean, he's only got 29 points so far this year. But
that's on a pretty atrocious Devils team.
That's on a pretty atrocious Devils team. And you think, okay, well, the Panthers are not world beaters. Their top scorer, 36 points. Jonathan Huberdeau, who is here, he's a rookie, right?
Huberdeau is not, no.
No, he was around last year?
Yeah, Ekblad's the rookie.
Still second. You're right, Ekblad is a rookie. Only 33 points, right? But then you take a look at the Devils. The Devils, their leading scorer, Mike Camilleri, 32 points. He only has... That's 23 goals and 9 assists. Their leading scorer only has 9 assists on the season. But then you take a look. Okay, the Canucks. Look at the Canucks. The Sedins have 56 and 54 points.
Yeah.
Verbata has 42 points. Okay, so you're thinking this is, you know, and they're a middling team.
Oh, and a pretty common theme this year has been the Canucks' inability to score.
But after Verbata, they drop down. Higgins and Hansen and Bonino all have 26 points each as of this recording. Jaromir Jagr would be the fourth highest scorer on the Canucks.
Well, that's what they were saying too, though. Even on radio today, they were talking about Higgins being one of the top scorers on New Jersey if he was there. And he hasn't collected a bucket load of points for weeks and weeks here.
Well, yeah, most of those 26 points were in the first 8
exactly.
weeks of the season.
Yeah.
My question to you is this. Now, of course, Florida is chasing down Boston for that final playoff spot. I think it's good for the league that they are buyers and then they're getting some bums in seats, even if it's Chicago fans. Hi, Chicago. How you doing? My question to you is, if it only cost a second round pick and a third round pick, should a team like the Canucks have been going after someone like Jaromir Jagr?
No. No. They don't need to, and I say they don't need to because whether or not they make the playoffs this year, it's not going to have a huge effect on their attendance. That's, to me, that's a big reason why Florida does that. It's more so the message to their fans. Hopefully they can continue some of those numbers, higher numbers, and get their attendance up and make some money.
You don't think the Canucks,
the Canucks are not close. The Canucks are not close to the Stanley Cup, and Jaromir Jagr is not going to push them close enough to make it worthwhile.
No, but the second power play unit is atrocious, embarrassingly bad. Like, you and I could be thrown onto the second power play.
You haven't seen me skate.
And we would not score fewer goals than the second power play unit currently is scoring.
Because they don't score any.
Because they don't score any.
But we might allow a few more.
Okay, you're splitting hairs. The fact is, this is awful. Horrible. Embarrassingly bad.
Does it really matter, though, in the grand scheme of things?
A few power play goals would be nice.
They'd be nice, but it's not going to necessarily improve your lot in life. They're a middling team, like you just said, right? Regardless of an extra power play goal here or there.
So you're saying the Canucks should not try to improve in any way, shape, or form at this point?
Not at the cost of draft picks. Relatively high ones and a second and a third.
A second round and a third round pick?
Mm-hmm. Right now you need, hey, the Canucks drafting has not been that great, but
all
it has
the
not,
more reason to spend the
no,
picks.
No, 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 but it has not been that horrible either, especially in the last few years.
Okay, well, this brings me to the next question, which actually was not on our script. I'm going off script.
I am breaking out into a cold sweat.
Like I didn't go off script with calling
with
you
rubber
my rubber ducky.
Comments? Yes.
Today on TSN Radio, they were talking about Phil Kessel leaving Toronto. Some people were suggesting that maybe the Canucks should be in that derby. What do you think?
Heck no.
And why? What's your reason?
Kessel is uncoachable.
You're not going to elaborate on that? You're not going to give me
any? No, that was sort of a shot at the Toronto media.
Right.
You know, I don't think Kessel is not a long-term solution, and that's what the Canucks need right now.
Doesn't he have a couple more years left on a contract?
Yeah, but I don't.
I think he's signed for longer than the Sedins are.
Yeah, but he's not a solution, is what I'm saying. The difference between being signed long term and being a long term solution. Kessel has been in Toronto for a number of seasons now, and what has he managed to accomplish there?
Hey, he has scored on a.
It's not about
a regular basis.
It's not about that. It's not about that. The team is atrocious now. It was atrocious then, and it will be atrocious going forward.
So
and that is
saying,
squarely placed on the likes of Phil Kessel.
Are you saying
and Dion
that a team being awful, just like a team being better than the sum of its parts, occasionally a team will have chemistry that reduces it to less than the sum of its parts?
I don't know.
You blame Phil Kessel for that?
For a large part of it.
You don't think Randy Carlyle is one of the reasons for it?
He's been gone for a long time. Horacek's in there, and they haven't fared any better.
Randy Carlyle's been there longer than Phil Kessel.
In fact, they've fared worse under Horacek than they have under Carlyle.
Right, but anytime you have bad management.
Oh, management plays a part, too.
Plays a huge
part. They're the ones that signed Phil Kessel to a long-term deal.
That's what I'm saying. But they are the ones who initiated the environment. And it takes time, and it takes a very skilled hand to move away from bad blood in the room. And some people are even saying that some of the moves they've made this week in Toronto are trying to address that by moving guys like David Clarkson. Huge salary, not much upside.
Mm-hmm. That's another horrible signing.
Who's the other guy they just moved?
They brought in Jokinen for Winnick. Winnick.
They moved Winnick. But they weren't trying to, they weren't bringing in Jokinen as a solution.
Well, it seems as though he's trying to be a solution there. He's the only player out of Toronto that has had an honest assessment of that room all season long. And he figured that out in the first 2 days.
But he's at an age now where if he, first of all, I think he's a UFA at the end of the season.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
But he is not going to lose anything in his career by just stating it.
He's not happy to be in Toronto, and he's not going to stay in Toronto. In fact, I don't know if he's even going to play next season, to be honest, the way his career's gone. But, hey, at least he came out and said it. There's a negative air all around Toronto and surrounding that team. And at some point, their leadership, whoever that is supposed to be.
Phaneuf, Kessel, you're saying.
That's what I would include in that. Need to take stock of that. And it's up to them to turn that room around. Management can only do so much. And maybe that's part of it as well. Maybe they're shopping Kessel because they've come to the realization that it's just not going to happen with him around.
And by it, you mean?
Win.
Anything.
Winning.
Yeah.
Any winning positivity.
And certainly, I agree. I don't think the Canucks should go for him. This was something that was on a lot of the boards, and some people are excited because he is a legitimate scorer. Not like Radim Verbata, where he came in at the beginning of the season and people were asking questions. Like, can he score again? Because he only scored 40 goals once.
Mm-hmm.
And people weren't sure if he could produce that again. And he started to.
Mm-hmm.
He's not on pace for that anymore.
No. And he's lost his spot with the Sedins for now.
But he's going to get 30 goals this year.
Okay.
Right? Well, how many is he at now?
Low 20s.
He's at 22 goals in 58 games. He missed a couple of games, though. But 22 goals. So you don't think he'll get 8 more?
Well, I would have to see what way he's trending, but he's not with the Sedins anymore, and the vast majority of those were scored with the Sedins and probably a good chunk were on the power play as well. I don't know the exact numbers.
Right,
but
that is true. It seems like Zach Cassian is scoring his goals recently.
Yeah, Burrows was sucking up a lot of time before he got hurt, right? And now Cassian's kind of been inserted on that line. So.
Right. But yeah, Phil Kessel is a legitimate scorer. He's one of the highest scoring players consistently over the last 5 seasons.
Listen, he probably needs to be insulated, but he probably needs to be a second liner and not necessarily be counted on to be the leader and the number one guy on a team.
Do you think he would also benefit from being in a non-traditional hockey market? Like, would he be better in, say, Columbus or in Florida?
Like, better fit-wise or better, like, literally, like, performing better? What
possibly
do you mean?
Both. I'm talking about the fact that he does not have... He has a radio face, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
But his posture, his attitude, it does not behoove the biggest hockey market in the world with a microphone in his face every day.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, I don't know the guy. I don't mean to disparage him.
Liar! You mean to disparage?
It's only because of the sweater that he wears. My inclination, honestly, is that he's not necessarily the most driven guy in the world, and part of that is because to look at him, you'd be hard pressed to imagine him as a professional athlete. You'd be hard pressed to imagine him as a professional bowler, let alone a professional hockey player,
which we've discussed before.
Yes,
right.
So. Listen, I would tend to think that being in that market and having that pressure is probably better for him in that it forces him to stay on top of his game as much as possible. If he's in Columbus, I tend to think he just kind of drifts off into the sunset. But you never know. Hmm. I think he'd be better off in I would say like a mid-market.
Like Dallas?
Something like that. Even like Boston to me was probably a pretty good spot for him as long as he's...
He got roasted there.
Yeah, but he was young. I mean, he was a much worse player there than he has become in Toronto.
Hmm.
I think he'd be okay as a second line sort of scoring winger forward. I don't think he has the maturity, I suppose, to be kind of that top guy and lead the team.
Hmm. All right, so...
where do you think he belongs?
I think he belongs in Florida with Jaromir Jagr.
Maybe he could be the next traveling Jagr.
Just give him a mullet
yeah.
and a Panthers jersey
yeah.
and Phil Kessel,
yeah.
you've found your calling.
There you are.
All right, I like it.
Never mind. He certainly fits the bill of the rest of the traveling Jagrs that we've seen.
They do seem like
portly fellows.
They love a pint.
Yeah.
And by pint, I mean a pint of Jaromir Jagr peanut butter. Oh, you're so young, Russell. The look you just gave me. You don't know about Jaromir Jagr
peanut
butter?
No.
Oh, you've got to get on the magic Google machine and check it out. When he was a young, mulleted youngster, up and coming with Mario Lemieux's Penguins,
mm-hmm.
he signed a deal with a local peanut butter company.
Wow.
And they put out Jaromir Jagr peanut butter. And there's a great picture of him with a glorious mullet almost down to his shoulder blades laughing beside this supermarket display of peanut butter.
Hmm.
It's right up there with like Flutie Flakes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, and all of those cheesy athlete supermarket products.
You know what? They should have tied that in with the peanut butter solution.
I don't know what that is.
Well, to explain it now it's going to take up a lot of time.
Does that have anything to do with peanut butter jelly time?
No. That's much. The peanut butter solution was probably a early 90s, yeah, or late 80s or early 90s film that, for whatever reason, seemed to get shown in every single elementary school. At the time, a young child is scared by a dream and loses all of his hair.
I like it already.
And
is this a true story? It's a documentary?
yes, no. And then, yeah. And there's an abandoned house in their neighborhood, and his friend stumbles upon a peanut butter solution. So you rub the peanut butter on your bald parts.
Oh, thank goodness you said bald. The D
on your rubber ducky.
Oh my goodness.
And
that was going south fast. Okay.
Shown in all of the elementary schools.
Yeah, right. Oh my goodness. What kind of neighborhood did you grow up in?
Mr. Carlisle.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Moving on.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, we had originally planned to be a 5-minute chat about Jaromir Jagr.
And here we are 20 minutes later.
That's the way it is at Pucked in the Head. My name is Jason Carello. On behalf of Russell Arbuthnot, would like to give a big thank you to Civil Radio, CIVL, which is 101.7 FM, serving Abbotsford, Chilliwack, and the rest of the Fraser Valley here in the big Lower Mainland. We would like to thank you again, Civil Radio, for the use of the studio. Thank you very much, Russell. It has been a pleasure. See you next time, sir.
It's been a real slice.
Let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain.